We're going to pick up spiritual gifts again and keep going. Last time we looked at the list of spiritual gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight we're moving on to Romans chapter 12. So that's where you'll need to turn your Bibles, to Romans chapter 12 if you want to follow along. Romans 12. We'll read the first few verses there in Romans 12. And we'll be picking up on the next spiritual gift in our study on the Holy Spirit. Now we started covering spiritual gifts, and we started covering the nine permanent spiritual gifts a few months back, and obviously there's been some interruptions in amongst all that. So I'll just go back and quickly review, remind you of the spiritual gifts that we have done. We looked at the spiritual gift of apostleship. You remember that? Remember we examined the spiritual gift of apostleship. Then we looked at the spiritual gift of the prophet. And then we looked at the spiritual gift of the evangelist. And then I think the last one that we did was the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And that's the list that's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12 in that passage. Tonight we're moving on to the spiritual gift of ministry / helps. Ministry / helps, or dot helps, or squiggly line helps, or whatever you want to do. It's ministry and helps is the spiritual gift that we're looking at, because they're one and the same. Now, you might remember, you may not, I'm not sure, but when we started looking at the list of spiritual gifts, I mentioned in there that some spiritual gifts are repeated in the lists that are given using different descriptions but have the same capacity for service. For example, government and ruling, and then this one here tonight, ministry and help. So if you look at those lists of spiritual gifts, in one list you'll see helps mentioned. In another list, you'll see ministry. It's speaking, the best we understand, the way it seems, that it's speaking one of the same spiritual gifts. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 8 for our reading this evening. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, just pay attention in these first few verses, first four or five verses as we're reading. It's sort of setting the groundwork, laying the foundation before we get to the spiritual gifts. But these foundational verses are really important. I'll mention why. But just have a think about what we're reading as we're reading through these first few verses. I'm not just reading them for the sake of time. I'm going to go back and mention them because they're really important as we look at these spiritual gifts. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, here's this list starting, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, that's the gift we're looking at tonight, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, and then it carries on there. So you'll see the gift that we're looking at, it's the first one mentioned there in verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Now, you'll also find this gift mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. It says there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, and God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we're looking at ministry and helps this evening. That's the topic. That's the spiritual gift that we're seeking to examine tonight and learn more about. What is this gift of helps or this gift of ministry? Before we get into the gift, though, let's just examine just very briefly these first five or six verses in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, a life of sacrifice. Verse 1, a life of sacrifice. Notice what it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, before you can properly live out your spiritual gift, you're going to have to put yourself on the altar. You're going to have to give up you. Because you see, when God, the Holy Ghost, distributes the spiritual gifts, they're not necessarily in line with our personality. They don't necessarily gel with our personality. That's a misnomer to think that, this is my personality, so that my spiritual gift must be this. Not at all. And so, in order for me to live out my spiritual gift to the full capacity and be able to be used to the Holy Spirit, self has to be sacrificed. Notice verse 2, we see a renewing of the mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I'm going to prove and fulfill that perfect and acceptable will of God in my life, it's going to take a renewing of my mind. It's going to take a sacrificial life, and it's going to take God doing a renovation in here. Stop thinking worldly and start thinking spiritually. If all you're doing is being conformed to this world and going through your Christian life from the angle of a worldly concept and a worldly mindset, it's going to be really difficult for the Holy Ghost to be able to equip you to use your spiritual gift, because your spiritual gift is in complete contrast to worldly mentality. Notice verse 3. I see humility of mind. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Just don't worry about everybody else. Just don't worry about what their spiritual gift is. Don't worry about what your spiritual gift is. Just embrace humility. That's what each and every one of us must do. If God's going to be able to use you to the fullest in regards to your spiritual gift, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to take a place of utter humility in order for God to be able to use you how he wants to use you. Then notice verse 4 and 5, let's put that together. The fact is that we're all members of one body. Let's read it together. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So, you know, my little toe doesn't do the same thing as my pointer finger, right? It's all of the one body, but they do different things. My nose doesn't smell. My nose, I hope it does, hang on. My nose doesn't hear. My ears don't smell. They do what they're supposed to do. And they're not in competition with each other. My nose isn't, my ear's not trying to jump down in front of my nose and smell things. It just sits there waiting to hear and just lets my nose do the smelling, right? And we keep that in mind when it comes to the body of Christ and spiritual things. So what if you're a nose? Just be a nose. You see what I'm saying? If God's gifted you with something, just be that. Just be content with that. I think you ought to have been something else. That's you thinking more highly of yourself. You see, that's you not fulfilling verse 3. You see, that's why it takes humility. You just need to be content and satisfied with what God's gifted us with. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So the other thing we need to remember, not only are we different members and we have different jobs and different abilities and different giftings, but we've got to remember that we're all part of one body. We're not in competition with each other. We're seeking to work together in unity with one another. Like, you don't, could you imagine you went down to pick up a shoe, you went down to pick up something, let's say you've been over to pick up a rock, you've been over with your right hand and your left foot jumped over there and tried to pick it up. I mean, you'd slap your left foot, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just getting in the road, it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But, you know, if we're not careful, that's how we end up operating in a local church, because we're trying to fulfill a role we're not supposed to be. We need to identify our spiritual gift or our spiritual gifts and just settle into that and just allow God to use us in that area. Notice verse 6. Here we've got there's different gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. How is it that there are different gifts? By the grace that's given us. It's because God distributes it as he wills. And if you go back here, I think it's back here in verse 3. Notice there at the end of verse 3. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, God's dealt it out how he's wanted to deal it out. And God's distributed the gifts how he's wanted to distribute them. They're all different. Just be satisfied with what God's given you. Submit to that. Yield to that. Don't worry about what old mate's got. And just be content with what God's gifted you with, and just get diligent and busy about fulfilling that spiritual gift. So do you see how that lays a real platform for coming into the list of spiritual gifts? Do you see that? Really important not to just read over those first few verses, but take that into context as to what's going on. So let's jump down here into verse 7, Romans 12, verse 7. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. So ministry helps. The spiritual gift of ministry, the spiritual gift of helps, is the gift, the capacity, the ability to serve, to wait upon others, to give assistance and support. I'll repeat that. The spiritual gift of ministry and helps is the capacity, the ability to serve, to wait upon, to give assistance or support. Now, you may think that sounds like a consolation prize because you didn't get any other spiritual gift. But what you need to understand is this gift is probably the most important gift in the life of a local church. Thank God for how God has planted individuals in the local church with the gift of helps and the gift of ministry. That nothing would happen. Nothing would happen if we all just had the gift of mercy. We'd all just sit around hugging on each other. No one would do anything. We'd all just feel sorry for each other. We'd all just wallow in each other's self-pity. Right? No, I'm not making light of the gift of mercy. I'm just trying to draw an illustration, you see. Thank God for individuals that have the gift of ministry, the gift of helps. Thank God for such a valuable gift. Now, would you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 16? Just go over a chapter. And for the sake of illustration, I want to introduce you here to Phoebe. And I want you to see Phoebe. No doubt Phoebe had the spiritual gift of helps and ministry. Notice Romans 16, verse 1. Paul commended Phoebe to the saints in Rome. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succour of many, and of myself also. So you see there, Phoebe there in verse 1 and verse 2, I want to draw out number 1 in regards to Phoebe. Notice in verse 1, Paul, as he's commending Phoebe to the saints in Rome, he said, she's my sister. You see that? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. You see that? That's why we call each other brother and sister. because we're a family. You know, and Sister Sharon, she's my sister. She's not just Sharon, she's my sister. Because we're in the one family. You see that? And it's a bit biblical language. It might seem a bit weird. And I guess it is. I thought it was a bit weird when I first, like, it's a weirdos. Yeah, but you do get used to it, don't you? But it is biblical language, isn't it? And what it does, it seeks to emphasize the fact that we're a family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, notice this, which is a servant. That doesn't seem very flattering, does it? She's a servant. Said she's a servant of the church. To be a servant is to be an attendant or a waiter. A person that attends another for the purpose of performing menial tasks. Servant differs from slave. The servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. The slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. And Phoebe, she was a servant to the church. Voluntarily. I say to people all the time around here, we're all volunteers. The workforce around the local church, we're all volunteers, right? It's voluntary servitude. It's not slavitude, if that's a word. It's probably not, but we'll just throw it in there. We're here voluntarily. No one held a gun to your head. No one's trying to blackmail you to be here. No one's trying to blackmail you to do things around here. It's a voluntary servitude to the church. And that's exactly was Phoebe's spirit and her attitude. She volunteered her services to the church. She was a servant of the church. But notice in verse 2, I want you to notice another word starting with S. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succourer of many and of myself also. So here, Paul identifies Phoebe as a servant and also as a succourer. The word succourer has the idea of an aid, someone to bring help. To be a succourer has the idea of providing aid or relief to another that cannot provide it for themselves. Phoebe often provided relief and aid for Paul, along with many others. You know, they think that Phoebe was probably quite a wealthy lady, and she used her resources to serve the church and to bring aid and relief to perhaps the sick, the needy. Paul in prison, and she used her resources and her time and all that she had to be a blessing to others. Phoebe was all about others. Phoebe wasn't about herself. And if you've got the gift of ministry and the gift of helps, you're probably about others more than you are about yourself. Looking out for others or looking out for the church as a whole. So here we see with Phoebe, she was a servant, she was a succourer. Perhaps Onesiphorus as well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Go with me to Acts chapter 20, if you would please. We'll move on. So we've seen Phoebe there as an illustration of someone with the gift of ministry, the gift of helps, serving the church, serving people in the church. No one wants to be a waiter. I mean, no one wants to have to attend to others, do they? My flesh just rebels against that, having to serve others. My flesh doesn't like it. My flesh likes me being served. Isn't that right? I'm talking about my flesh. I'm being honest in front of you, right? Now, you can sit there with your Bible and everything and be all spiritual and pretend that you never feel that way and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. but we all enjoy to be served. Not too many of us like to get up off the couch and serve somebody else. But we have to die to self if we're going to do that. Phoebe had died to self. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I just want you to see this one verse. I've showed you all things, how that so labouring ye ought to, I want you to notice this word, support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, do you see that phrase, support the weak? It's translated from the same Greek word as the word ministry, or the word help is also translated in the English. So you've got the Greek word, whatever it is, I can't pronounce it. It's translated in our English language, support the weak, ministry and help, depending on the context, okay? So here in this verse, to minister or to help has the idea of supporting the weak. Now to support, again, has the idea of to succour or to help. It has the idea of to bring aid and assistance. Who are you aiding? Who are you assisting? Well, it's the weak. It's the feeble. It's the diseased. It's the impotent. It's the sick. It's those that cannot do for themselves. So someone with the gift of ministry, or the gift of helps, is busy about serving others that cannot help themselves. And notice it says at the end of that verse, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Someone with the gift of ministry and helps, again, has a self-sacrificing life. They're willing to sacrifice time. They're willing to give of their time. They're willing to give of their money. They're willing to give of their resources. They're willing to give of their energy in order to support the weak, in order to minister to others. Now, 1 Corinthians, I want you to go there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. Again, another family, another household with perhaps the gift of ministry, the gift of helps, is the house of Stephanas. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Do you see that there? Notice verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboureth. But that's really interesting language, isn't it? There in regards to the house of Stephanas, and that they were the first brethren in Achaia. They were the first saved there. And notice what Paul says about them. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Their whole life was about ministering to the saints of God. They were addicted to it. They couldn't help but minister to other brethren. Man, what a blessing. Isn't that good? I mean, it doesn't, and this is the thing about spiritual gifts. You know, well, I don't have the gift of mercy and help, so I don't have to help anyone. But no, it doesn't really play out that way. That's not the way it works. But some have the capacity to do it, yeah, supernaturally. You know, like I'll put my hand up. I don't have the gift of helps, I don't think, and to a great degree. And I have to die myself, you know. No, I have to really make myself. I have to look out for those sort of things and make sure that I'm dying to self, to serve others and that sort of thing. But so this household here, the household of Stephanas, they had addicted themselves to ministering to others. Hey, folks, we get so caught up on number one, don't we? Lord, help all of us be looking out for others. It's particularly our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I wanted to just draw that out. That's really interesting language, isn't it? That they had addicted themselves. Wouldn't it be good if there's some, and maybe there are some of you that you've addicted yourself to serving and ministering the saints. That'd be a good thing. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And here we're going to get on the deacon here for a little bit. So Johnny Chaffin will have to buckle in. We'll tread on his toes for a little while. Because you can't look at this doctrine, this spiritual gift, and go past the deacon, because the word deacon literally means to serve. It literally means to minister. And so here you'll notice 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. But I just want to draw out that word deacon. The word deacon is also translated in your English language, in your English Bible, in the King James Bible, it's also translated minister and servant. Now, a deacon is to serve and minister to the needs of the church. That's his role. His role is to serve the church. He quite literally is the church's servant. Not the church's slave, but the church's servant. He's a servant of the church. And a deacon with the gift of helps, the gift of ministry, is a great value to any church. Great value to any church. And in fact, is an irreplaceable asset to any church. And, you know, the role, the office of a deacon is to, I've mentioned this before when I preached on deacons, taught on deacons a few years ago, or 12, 18 months ago or so, it was a while ago. Their role is to serve and minister and make sure and oversee that all the needs of the folks in the church are being met. That's his job. That's his role. Is to oversee, make sure that if someone is doing without in a church, make sure that they're taken care of. If someone's lacking food, make sure they get food. If someone's lacking funds, make sure they get funds. If someone needs their lawn mowed, make sure their lawn gets mowed. It's practical things, but then it's also spiritual things. Someone's struggling spiritually, it's his job to get alongside them, encourage them, and try and be a blessing to them, and serve them in that way. That's his job, that's his role. That's the role of a deacon, to serve and to minister the church. We've got some concluding thoughts and we're going to wind this up. So let me make some statements and we'll look at a couple of verses before we finish. Let me make some statements about the individual that has the spiritual gift of helps, the spiritual gift of ministry, may have the following qualities. They may have a special capacity to serve in particular ways behind the scenes. And it's generally behind the scenes. Generally, they loathe the limelight and would rather be behind the scenes, making sure everything runs smoothly without being seen. Usually, they have a joyful and faithful disposition, quietly but busily going about their tasks. These people, man or woman, these people are the backbone and the workhorse of any local church. They stack the chairs, they mow the lawn, they do the cleaning, they do the bookwork, they prepare material, they serve in the ministry as a whole, or they serve individuals within the ministry. You see, I'm going to use Brother Andrew as an example, and I don't know if I've ever done this, but here we go. I reckon Brother Andrew probably has the gift of ministry, the gift of helps. And I'm pretty careful about saying what people's spiritual gifts are, but I just reckon that's so. And I'm seeing a lot of heads being nodded around the place as well. And Brother, a lot of us understand what Brother Andrew does, but a lot of people don't understand all what Brother Andrew does. You know, he does an awful lot of things around here. They're behind the scene things. But, you know, someone would have to do an awful lot. if Bro Andrew stopped doing what he did. You see? And now he does that as a whole, serving the church, right? But then he also does things for individuals. And then there's some of you that do things for individuals. So someone with the gift of ministry, the gift of helps, not only serves the church collectively, but also serves individuals on a singular basis. Does that make sense? It's not just, well, he doesn't have the gift of ministry because all they do is stuff within the church. They don't do stuff for individuals. Well, I wouldn't go that far. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm saying? Other people, well, they don't have the gift of ministry because all they do is stuff for individuals. They don't do anything for the church. Well, I wouldn't go that far either. There's different capacities, there's different areas to exercise that gift of ministry and helps. But I'm saying this gift of helps, this spiritual gift of ministry, is not a consolation prize because you missed out on something else. Now, I think, I honestly do, I honestly believe God gifts men and women quite often more than one spiritual gift. I think, you know, some individuals two or three gifts, perhaps. And so, what I'm saying is, you may have the gift of a pastor, teacher, or the gift of an evangelist, but you may also have the gift of mercy, the gift of helps and ministry. You see that? They can be two, and they work hand in hand, work together. And I just want to emphasize that it's not a consolation prize by any stretch of the imagination. This is a vital gift that should not be minimized in any way. Go back with me to Romans, please. Romans chapter 12. And I think Brother John Chopin has the gift of help, the gift of ministry. Otherwise, I wouldn't have recommended him as a deacon. He's a server, right? I'm not trying to blow these men up. I'm trying to use them as an example, right? Mowing lawns, moving people, fixing things for people, doing discipleship with people, getting alongside people. Works a full-time job, still does it. Why? Well, because he's a server, right? Man, church would crash and burn without people like that, men and women. Men and women. Such a vital gift in a local church. You don't want to put one above the other, but I mean, it's way up. You know, it's so important. So Romans 12, verse 7, back to the text verse, it says, "For ministry, let us wait on our ministering." It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Let us wait on our ministering. And so I tried to study that out. What in the world does that mean? Let us wait on our ministering. I sit around and wait for something to happen? That's not what it means. Unfortunately, the phrase, let us wait on our ministering, has the idea of to be wholly and diligently occupied in it. Let this be our great business. Let us give entire attention to it. It means to wait. It doesn't mean to sit around and wait. Right. It doesn't have the idea of stopping and pausing waiting. It has the idea of serving waiting. Right? Attending. Wait on our ministry. Get busy about it. Be attentive. So what I want to say in regards to that is, if you have the gift of helps, get busy serving. Get busy succoring. Get busy sacrificing for the good of others and the local church. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Folks, we've only got one chance of living this life and serving God and exercising our spiritual gift. Just got one chance, lifetime. Can I just encourage you folks to really take before the Lord what your spiritual gift is or what your spiritual gifts are, and then just get busy about exercising those spiritual gifts, and it'll be the best thing for you, and it'll be the best thing for us as a church. Sure will. You just can't beat it. That's what it's all about. See, if we all see God fitly joins us together, I believe you can say what you want, but I believe that God, in His sovereignty, in His providence, He chooses, He selects where He puts members in what church. I believe God put me here. I didn't just choose to come to Sunshine Baptist Church. I believe God placed me in this place. Right? And I believe God's placed you in this church. And He's fitly joined us together. You say, well, she just rubs me wrong. Get over it. Right? Sister Vivian, man, she's rough to be around sometimes, I tell you. It's just hard going putting up with her. God has placed us together in one body. And you know, if we just all figure out what we're supposed to do, don't worry about what anybody else is. Don't worry about what the little toe's doing. Don't worry about the right leg. Just worry about you being the left ear and just be the best left ear you can be. You see that? And if we'd all do that, the body would harmonize. That's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of spiritual gifts in the local body. See, I think that's why it's so important. If God's placed me here, it better be God that moves me out of here. And if God's placed you here, it better be God that moves you out of here. Because if you remove yourself out, we're in trouble. We're lacking. We're missing a really vital part. And have you ever seen a left leg flopping around on the road by itself? It doesn't make much progress. You know, one member out on its own does not progress well. One individual Christian out there on their own, trying to on their own, you're just not going to make much progress. You need to be in a body, operating in a body. And if I'm not saying God never moves people, He does. God, if God takes you out of this body, He'll put you in another body. I believe that. I believe that's serious. Yeah, amen, absolutely. Spiritual gifts. You see, it's because, when you think about God gave me a spiritual gift, He put me in the church, He put me there knowing what my spiritual gift was, how I can operate, and then I just say, better job down the road, I'm going down. Let's Google some churches, that one will do. Where's God in any of that? You've just done that all on your own. And, it might go a little bit for a little while, but it's not going to go like it could. You see that? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for our time together in Your Word. And Lord, we just ask You to bless it to us and help us. Lord, I do pray that You'd just be pleased to help the church folks to identify their spiritual gift. And then, Lord, we pray for the opportunity to be able to exercise those spiritual gifts. We just ask for Your blessing on us as a local church. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.